Zero Untold Stories from Gaza will be shown at the main library, third floor, but you can come at 5 p.m. for social time with some snacks. I was just asked today to make a comment before the film. And then I'll also be subbing for Dan on Monday for the World Music, and that'll be the beginning of a well, we'll be talking some about 10-7, of course, and it'll also be the beginning of a series I'm going to do all month about just commemorating the Madison World Music Festival. So, hope you can join us on all these things. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Jade, Summer, and Lainey. I'm STD Noor. Stay tuned for the Funny Boys. Bye.
You're listening to WORT Madison. Stay tuned for Mel and Floyd.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to hear. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smart and Pants.
Or as we're also known, the Funny Boys.
Yeah. Funny how. So, before we get going, I just want to lay this up front here.
Yeah.
As usual in our contract, sure, there will be no fact checking during this show. During this next hour, you're not allowed to fact check anything.
We use Factaway, the 100% effective fact freeing formula.
Not
that horrifying. The thing that was most amusing about that whole thing was when somebody dared to actually raise a point, and the junior senator from Ohio said, "You weren't supposed to be fact checking me." it's like he whined about it, you know?
Rather than like giving an answer or explaining or God forbid saying the truth.
Yeah,
but it's like, well, no,
not gonna win doing
we're
that.
Supposed to. It's like the old the original Saturday Night Live when Chevy Chase was Gerald Ford and they asked him some question. He goes, "Well, I was told there would be no math." It's exactly like that.
Oh, I didn't watch the debate, as like many people,
I didn't either. So let's comment on it.
And that's the way we do a lot of things.
How'd they
here.
Do?
Yeah. Well, I saw clips later, and and he's smooth and oily, of course.
Yeah.
Senator from Ohio who shall remain nameless, and Walz, I've seen a Chihuahua less nervous than that. He obviously is not a person that feels comfortable on the stage. And I suspect he was worried he wouldn't do well, so he drank a lot of coffee is what I think happened. Yeah, but it was, it's the usual thing. We'll grade him on style, and meanwhile we act as if there's some kind of parody between the between the two candidates when the one guy is just an egregious propagandist for a sort of proto-fascist point of view, and that's all it is. And they'll say anything or do anything they can to win. And we've already got tons and tons of cases that are being filed already. I mean, they're already filing a deluge of suits over the election, and the election hasn't even happened yet.
Well, it's all that fraud that's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they would balance it out by saying, well, Walz, misspoke on where he was during Tiananmen Square, which is, that's probably the number one issue facing our country now is where were you when Tiananmen Square was going on? But, and then,
He's an ineffective liar.
And then
that's the only thing. And then, one of them is an effective liar, and one's an ineffective liar.
Then Vance says, well, Donald Trump saved Obamacare.
Yeah.
And saved the Affordable Care Act. It's like, no, he didn't.
You can find recordings of him saying exactly the opposite,
They've been talking for a decade about repeal and replace. And they stopped talking about replace. They just talked about repeal.
But tens of millions
And Vance himself, just a week ago, floated this idea to fix the healthcare system of having two pools of people, the healthy and the non-healthy.
Yeah.
Also known as pre-existing conditions. Yeah, I know. And that was like within the last week.
We just relabeled it. Yeah,
that he was floating that stuff out there.
Right,
and then at the same time talking about saving.
Well, the stuff that he likes to emit tends to float, so. Not surprised. Any rate. No, it's the bizarreness of it.
But this idea that they build this up like a prize fight or something. It's like, who's going to win?
And they're evenly balanced. And you know, what this guy says is equal to what that guy says.
But I mean, we talked about this before. I mean, we're at this age now where it doesn't matter what somebody says. I mean, they'll say anything. It's the idea of getting clicks, of staying relevant, of telling people what they want to hear. And that's, I mean, there's always been an element of that. I mean, going back thousands of years, I mean, you tell people what they want to hear.
That's what I wanted you to say,
and they go, yay, you're smart. we got a nice email last week about from a woman who listens, and she says, I love your show because it validates how I feel. Which is actually, it's okay. That's, you know, well, it helps you feel like you're not crazy, you know. There's other people in the world who kind of see through this fog. And not that we're that great or anything, but I mean, it's just...
I just every now and then I do try to figure out what is the value added that we're providing.
I don't know. Sure. Keeps us off the streets for an hour.
But what's nice is I don't know, when people say things that are nice, the one that I believe is it makes me when I listen to the show I don't feel like slitting my wrists later. That's good. We're in favor of that. We're trying to help.
Well, you and I've had situations like that where we, you know, listen to somebody or read somebody, you know, you read a columnist and go, they make sense. You know, and to some extent it's because you agree with them, but it's also because they make sense. They're not lying. Telling you that, you know, the Democrats are, you know, controlling the hurricanes or something. Which Marjorie Taylor Greene did say yesterday.
Oh my God.
That she did some good conspiracy theory work on this, or somebody on her staff did.
They had
an overlay of where the hurricanes passed.
Okay.
And then how these people voted in the past, those same areas voted.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I mean, and they were mostly like red areas, Republican voting areas. But I mean,
inflamed red areas.
I think it's God punishing those people.
Well, see, now,
you know, if you want to flip it around on them. But she said, well, you got to be crazy to think somebody doesn't have a machine that can control this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know, she didn't like hint at it. She said it right out there. This is somebody's controlling this weather. And because this way it makes it more difficult for these people to vote.
Sure.
Yeah, because everything is based on what party you're in, you know, in as far as how the universe works.
I think there are lots of people actually in those southern states, they're just not a majority, who vote for the other party. Nashville, for example. You know, I mean, I just point that out. You know, Atlanta. You know, this is the thing that, you know, the red state and the blue state. It's more like a blue archipelago across the United States.
Yeah, yeah.
With vast, you know, again, you know, throbbing red areas in between.
It's like one of those commercials for some pill that can, you know, kind of fixes some sort of malady that no one's ever heard of or no one's ever had before.
Right,
it's like, do you have cybermetrings? Well, we can fix that.
But I think you look at the like the counties that vote certain ways and the areas that, you know, you can kind of stack them up as opposed to the artificial boundaries of a state. And you do, you see these like dendrites in a brain or something.
Right,
you see these
right.
large extended things that come out from cities and connect with suburbs and so on. And then there's these areas around them. It's almost like some kind of medieval fortress city or something. And then the vast red wastelands between. Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, even in the places we think of as very red, like Oklahoma City is fairly blue. I mean, Kansas City is fairly blue.
That's why the Trumpies were going after Nebraska.
The one
because
vote.
They had the, Omaha, of course, votes very differently from the rest of the state.
Yeah, let's change the rules like a month and a half before the election. That makes sense.
But what it really points to, again, is the artificiality of the whole system of that we have these separate states, which, you know, I mean, the separate states that existed when the United States became a country were arbitrarily created. I mean, Massachusetts was originally three colonies, and New Jersey was two. And, I mean, you know, there was only one Carolina. And, you know, I mean, it's all these things. I mean, it was all arbitrary from the outset.
Sure.
And so it's
anything
like
that has a north or a south attached to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Or east or west.
Yeah, there was East Jersey and a West Jersey, believe it or not, at one point. But, I mean, all that stuff is just like that those should be sacrosanct. And that's the way that we're going to divide each other up to the end of time. And, of course, it's reflected, as we all know, in the Electoral College and the crazy way in which the person who gets the most votes may not win. And that could very easily happen again.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I had a story. I think last week I mentioned that the superintendent of schools in Oklahoma, speaking of Oklahoma.
It's okay, I've
it's,
heard.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's fine. But he had an edict that the schools should all have Bibles in their classrooms.
I like a decree, actually.
Yeah. And then a papal bull, I think, is the thing. So he went ahead and they did an RFP, a request for proposals, where they put out the criteria for for the bids on who's going to supply these.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Here's according to the bid documents, vendors must meet certain qualifications or specifications. Must be the King James Version.
What?
Number one.
Oh, that's stupid.
Must contain.
There's your first problem. People.
Must contain the Old and the New Testaments.
That seems okay.
Must include, I like this one, include copies of the Pledge of Allegiance, Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights, and must be bound in leather or leather-like material.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting...
Just what Isaiah would have asked for.
Think about, especially these, the political documents attached to it there.
Yeah.
A lot of the Bible vendors, the Christian supply stores say they have nothing that fits that.
Oh, of course
fits
not.
But there is one that fits it.
What's that?
The Trump Bible.
Oh no, you're kidding.
That he floated out a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got it was actually originally Trump never does anything original. It was
no, he just slaps his name on.
It was originally the Lee Greenwood God Bless the USA Bible, but Trump slapped his name on it and doubled the price, and so those are only $60 a piece.
So what's the kickback for this pretending guy? That's what I want to know, because obviously there's some kind of deal behind the scenes here.
So like a lot of these normal vendors who provide like supplies to Catholic schools or Christian schools, they don't have anything that meets that. So there's only one.
May I suggest, from a Christian point of view, that that's idolatry? We are basically worshiping the United States like a false idol. I mean, what is all that stuff doing in there?
Plus, I'm sure it's got Trump's names stamped on the front.
Wow.
The Bible by Donald Trump.
So we got the King James Version, which nobody can understand. I mean, goes to a play by Shakespeare and goes, "Yeah, I got every word." You know, I mean, it's like this thing is written in 1611 or something. No one can understand what it says. So of course, you can twist it around any way you want.
It was the original version, right?
Yeah, it was not. It was not. Okay,
in the original English.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be in favor if they teach the kids Hebrew and Greek. I'd be
Aramaic
in favor of this. Yeah, Aramaic, whatever you need. Bad Greek, by the way. That's the problem with the. That's why it's hard to interpret a lot of parts of the New Testament, because it was written in kind of like street Greek. You know?
Oh, really?
Oh, it's not the classical Greek that you get in like Plato or something. No, it's just kind of like, they were not.
They were uneducated.
They were not that well. I mean, it was uneducated, but they were not that
relatively
well educated.
Yeah,
right. The writers weren't.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, what does that really mean?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of the apostles and stuff.
Oh, no, that's not their stuff at
I know.
All.
I realize that. That's somebody else. This came along 100 years later.
I mean, the only actual words of Jesus in there is probably that there's two places where he actually says something in Aramaic.
Yeah.
And they record it because it's notable.
Yeah,
so,
they have their phones out.
You know, exactly. Well, the one where he says, why have you forsaken me? Yeah. I think that's a pretty poignant
That's
one.
A direct quote.
Yeah, that's a direct quote. I mean, it probably is.
Probably was. Damn, this hurts. You said you'd get me out of this,
yeah,
Dad.
Yeah. It's a religion of pain, people. Yeah. Let's make that clear.
So anyway, there's been some pushback in Oklahoma. They might, you know, be able to put the kibosh on that.
Holy books being considered?
No. Yeah. Well, we'll see what Trump comes up with. Maybe he'll come up with some new ones.
Yeah.
The children also have to wear gold sneakers for some reason. I'm not quite sure how that fits in.
Worship the golden calf.
Yeah.
In the case of Trump, the golden pig. But anyway.
Remember a few years ago, I think it was at like a CPAC or something, they actually had a golden statue of Trump. And
that's right.
Yeah, he had like short boxer shorts on that were red, white, and blue, and a tie and a jacket. And
it really is hard to be parodic these days, isn't it?
And people are getting their picture taken.
Sure, they are. Oh, it's a hoot.
Worshiping the golden Donald.
Yeah. But, oh my God, he is the Antichrist.
Yeah. So. Oh, here's Marjorie Taylor Greene's tweet. Yes, they can control the weather. It's ridiculous for anyone to lie and say it can't be done. This is a map of hurricane-affected areas with an overlay of an electoral map by political party shows how hurricane devastation could affect the election.
Well, Marjorie, you know, I just let her know that as these hurricanes and widespread devastation and unbelievable inhuman temperatures continue in the world that isn't suffering from climate change, a lot of those people are probably going to move out of those areas, those who can afford to do so.
Yeah.
So let's see where they end up then. See if we end up starting having hurricanes in Ohio or whatever. Hey, if you felt a strange kind of chill or a little tremor in the force this week, that's because Liz Cheney was in town. I had to put a sweater on. I could see my own breath.
My collar was a little tight.
Yeah. No, she was here side by side. She was in Wisconsin up in Ripon. She was side by side with good old Kamala. And to just let people know that this is a pretty big tent they've got right now going on the Democratic side. Country over party was a lot of people had signs declaring that. And Harris, the vice president of the United States, told the crowd that people of every party must stand together to reject Trump. And I agree with that, but Liz Cheney? At any rate, it is good that people within the Republican Party, there are a few who really think he's ludicrous. But I don't know. I sometimes worry they just feel he'll be inefficient in his evil. I think that's probably maybe
yeah, I mean, they're not
a
totally,
worry.
I mean, you take what you can get when you're, you know, I'm sure in a foxhole kind of thing.
Liz and Dick were thinking, how many countries has he invaded?
Look, we could invade Iran right now. They're,
and they're doing nothing.
We got all kinds of pretexts to do that. We don't even have to make it up this time. So,
but I was saying earlier that the Republicans have already started unleashing a giant slurry of lawsuits challenging voting rules and practices. All across the country is this huge onslaught of litigation. There's about 90 lawsuits that have been filed across the country by Republican groups. And this is three times the number that were filed before Election Day in 2020. The voting rights experts say that the legal campaign appears to be an effort to prepare everybody for the contesting of the election the minute it, of course, is completed. Mm. By the way, there are some.
It's hard to keep a democracy going, isn't it?
I mean,
it just seems like there's this gravitational pull.
There's a ballot error dispute in Pennsylvania. There's a late ballots challenge in Mississippi. See, these are the big ones to watch. There's two different ones in Arizona. One is about voter harassment. This group called the Arizona Free Enterprise Club filed a case in court state court opposing new rules that prohibit people from interfering with or harassing voters. So this is kind of like the fact-checking thing. It's like, what, you say we can't harass voters when they go to vote?
You never told us that.
You never told us that. Then the other one in Arizona is about the voter rolls. They're cleansing the rolls
right
now.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, right. And then there's down in Georgia, of course, lots of things are going on right now. So, but yeah, so these are some of the big cases across the country. Do we have any here in Wisconsin? Are there any litigation yet in advance of the?
Not that I know of. I mean, they go back and forth on the drop boxes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's been in the news. Right? Yeah.
I just remember a couple of weeks ago the mayor of
Vigilante mayors
rolling it off in a can.
Shooting it with his handgun.
A hand cart. See, there you go. He's not a real Republican.
Yeah.
He actually did some work.
You should have an automatic rifle if you're going to take care of that baby.
Do you see there was some charity auction? I think it was in Texas where they had this guitar that was supposedly autographed by Taylor Swift.
And okay.
Some guy paid $4,000 for it, and then he came up with a hammer and smashed it. And,
great.
And then it turned out it was fake anyway. It wasn't really autographed by her. But
so was the hammer.
So, yeah. So was the guy. He wasn't really a plumber.
He was a paid actor.
Yeah, it was like Joe the plumber. Remember Joe the plumber?
He
was not a plumber. His name wasn't Joe.
Yeah, Yep, he was the MAGA shaman or something. Hey, let's see. The Dems and the GOP did pick their presidential electors. And so let's see who was on the Republican side. These are before they of course...
Kaiser Soze.
This is before they picked their second group of electors, their fake electors. Those, are, of course, are in the wings. But the non-fake ones so far are the... District Attorney of Fond du Lac County, a person by the name of Eric Toney, the state GOP chair, Brian Schimming, former Governor Tommy Thompson, and let's see here some of the ones they have on the Democratic side. They've got,
Pepe Silva.
They've got, Mayor Rhodes Conway. They've got the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crowley, and they got the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez.
Oh, okay.
Of the ones. So if you see a bunch of electors and they're not those people, then we're getting into the fake elector territory and the fake elector swamp.
Oh, okay. So. Tommy was kind of mad because he gave a little speech when Trump was in Wisconsin. I don't know if it was probably in Wanakee.
Yeah.
But it wasn't in Prairie du Chien because they were like 100 million people that couldn't get into that one, so they could only let 700 people in. Oh. But anyway, Tommy got mad because they kind of dragged him off the stage. Because it's hard to get Tommy off the stage.
Yeah.
I mean, so but they had enough of his rah rah campaign speech, and so they kind of got the old hook out and dragged him off. They started playing. It's like the Oscars. They started playing him off. Only it was some Wagner they played. Play him off to some Wagner.
I just love that he plays the village, that Trump plays the village people.
I know.
What does that mean? I guess it's just the 70s, you know. So, hey, by the way, former President Donald Trump did say this week that this is one of the things that Vance tried to get away with in the vice presidential debate when it was pointed out to him that the Haitians who live in Springfield, Ohio, are there legally. And therefore, that a lot of things he was saying about them didn't really apply. He said, well, it was a very recent thing, you know, this temporary protected status thing. And to let the other shoe drop, Trump just said on Wednesday that if he's elected, he would revoke their legal status, the tens of thousands of Haitian immigrants.
But the reason there are so many Haitian immigrants there is because the city and the state requested it.
Yeah,
because they needed people to work.
Yeah,
and they couldn't get people. Yeah. They couldn't find anybody.
Well, did you hear about the guy? Actually, the businessman in Springfield, Jamie McGregor, who got into big trouble. He's had death threats. He had to lock down his company for a while. Posters around the town branding him as a traitor because when he was interviewed about, first of all, having Haitians work at his factory. And then secondly, about their work ethic, he got the wrath of the MAGA mob. So he's a fifth generation resident of Springfield, Mr. McGregor is, and he was trying to fill positions for machine operators, forklift drivers, and quality inspectors. He works at a metal processing company, and he began hiring Haitians. And they now represent about 10% of his workforce, which, by the way, he has 330 people working there at MacGregor Metal. And so that's only about, you know, 30 people, right?
33 and a third.
Yeah. And so, but they went berserk. And one of the things that I have to say is that I don't even want to repeat some of the evil messages, you know, that,
yeah,
you know, a bullet to the skull and, you know, just on and on. Of course, the usual sweet, wonderful people who love Trump so much. But the thing about this is
and that Jesus.
The thing that really got me about all this was he was talking about what a wonderful work ethic they have, mm-hmm. as opposed to all the, you know, all the opioid rednecks that I grew up with. They basically worked till they bought a new truck, and then my dad sitting on the front porch most of the time.
I can get on workers' comp now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, got to get the draw. And of course, he's making invidious comparisons and talking about what a great work ethic and how, you know, some of these folks never miss a day of work and all this stuff like that. And I think that probably drove them right over the edge.
Yeah,
so some of these things that they said were just really beyond the pale. According to his wife, her name is Cameron MacGregor, she said, "We're being hunted like animals right now."
Jeez.
Mr. MacGregor's children, his wife, and his 80-year-old mother have begun receiving hateful phone calls from all of the lovely, lovely MAGA faithful.
Wow.
So that's the you know, I have to bring this up periodically. I remember vividly we were talking about whether the MAGA movement is fascist. I remember having a disagreement with Esty about that and say, no, fascism, it has this, and this trait. It just doesn't check enough boxes. And I'm starting to think with this vigilantism and constant threat of violence that, yeah, this is a fascist movement. It's that you basically have the veneer of regular constitutional government. You know, the Nazis never got rid of their democratic constitution. But what you have behind the scenes is the constant violence or threat of violence, which makes all the rules that are put in place just nonsense. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything at all.
Well, I mean, Trump had that comment this week about essentially endorsing a purge.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we just need one day. One hour. That's right. One hour.
He concentrated purge.
That's right. One hour of, you know, let the police, you know, be rough. And he said, be really, really rough.
Yeah. So, I mean, what does that even mean?
He's, you know, not, you know, no bones about what he wants him to do.
Use the vermin language, the blood libel.
The vermin.
The whole.
They're polluting our blood.
Yeah.
And
every bit of it.
Yeah. So, but this idea of this, you know, just floating this purge, it's kind of like, I'll be a dictator for a day.
Yeah.
It's just one day, you know, I promise.
That's what they call the trial balloon.
It's the old, just the tip there. But then.
Yeah, right. Interesting metaphor.
Just for one day. Not according to Stormy, but.
The tip is all there is according to Stormy. Yeah.
Well, that's the trick there.
That's the whole enchilada.
I fooled you. But this idea of floating a purge, really, it just made my stomach, you know, tighten up.
No.
It's like, you know, because it's like, yeah, let's have the goons go out with guns and clubs and tasers and you know, these tanks they drive around now and just bust some heads for a while I mean, he was talking about shoplifters and things like that. I mean, he wasn't even talking about, you know, a lot of times he'll say, well, get the drug cartels and stuff. This was just like, you know, go out there and get anybody that looks at you funny.
And of course, our listeners know, I just remind people that, you know, the FBI just came out with statistics on Monday that the, you know, the murder rate and a lot of other, you know, basically, you know, basic categories of crime have been going down.
Mm-hmm.
The final compilation of crime data for 2023 showed that there were 2,500 fewer homicides in 2023 than 22, which is a decline of 11.6%. It was the largest year-to-year decline since they started keeping records on national statistics for this back in 1960. Overall, violent crime fell 3%, property crime fell almost 3%, burglaries are down 7.6, larceny down 4.4. Car thefts, which were a big deal just a couple years ago, they continue to be an exception.
Mm-hmm.
But so this latest data is consistent with earlier preliminary reports, and non-governmental organizations and criminologists all say that it's declined in most crime.
Yeah. So, well, the crime rate's tied to a number of things. That the economy is, yeah, is a big one. When, sure, when the economy does better, the crime, yeah, rate tends to go down because, right, people have options.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's demographics. As people get older, they tend to be less violent.
I've robbed so few banks now.
Yeah.
Well, I just like back in my glory
just
days.
Just the energy. It's like you know, yeah. Sometimes I'll do the drive-through.
Yeah.
That's not as effective for some
that
reason.
Bank won't rob itself. Yeah, it will.
You know, I mean, I drive through and I show them the gun at the, you know, in the camera at the window,
right,
and they don't even send me any money.
Yeah,
it's like they're
terrible.
Not afraid. So
yeah.
You got to go in. It's one of those. It's like the old school. You got to, yeah, go in and have, yeah, the personal contact.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't just text them and say, I have a gun.
Yeah, I have a gum.
I have a gum. Send me money. It doesn't work that way. But
hey, for what it's worth.
But those are things that are totally independent, yeah, from what gets talked about as crime policy, which, yeah, which usually translates to, you know, funding cops or something like that.
More for-profit prisons.
Yeah, yeah, more prisons, yeah, and tougher sentences, and, yeah, you know, leading to more for-profit prisons. And yeah, so, but I mean, if they put that money in social programs, that's another, yeah, thing that is a predictor.
But
of,
when you hear
crime rates,
when you hear Trump talk about it again, it becomes an illusory imaginary justification, like everything that they do. It's always some illusory imaginary thing for having absolute civil control.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
I mean, that's talking about bringing out the army for things like this and stuff like that. I mean, that it's just everything's the Reichstag fire, again,
yeah,
to use the Nazi comparison.
Yeah.
Everything is that there's a threat of chaos and violence. And so you have to keep talking about chaos and violence because it justifies,
right,
the crazy thing that you're about to do, in the same way that they have to constantly be saying, oh, there's, you know, there's all this corruption in our electoral system because they wanted to introduce corruption to the electoral system,
yeah,
and they need a justification.
Right. I saw a poll today talking, and it found that I didn't bring it in, so I don't have the exact numbers, but it was something like 25 or 30% of the people polled were worried about corruption in the election coming,
yeah,
up. You know, and they had similar ones in past elections, and it was,
yeah,
like 5% and 10%. But I mean, it's gone up so much because they've made it an issue.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've
fabricated this issue, like they fabricated the immigration issue and the crime issue and the inflation issue.
Yeah.
I mean, the inflation sort of there, but that's, yeah, come down. It's not really big deal anymore.
Well, that's why the special prosecutor's information this week was especially damning, because of course he doesn't really believe any of those things.
No, he
never did.
No.
And the level of testimony from people that he knew exactly what he was doing when he was claiming back in 2020 that he had won.
Yeah.
He wasn't deluded.
No.
People aren't that deluded. What they do is don't think you deserve the truth.
Yeah.
They will be that way.
Right. I mean they had quotes in there from Bannon. I mean, texts from Bannon,
yeah,
saying something big's going to happen on January 6th, or, you know, keep an eye on January
6th. It'll be wild.
Yeah, it'll be wild and stuff like that. So, I mean, again, this idea that, oh, it just, they were just tourists kind of checking out the place. I mean, it was,
yeah,
like, no.
Nancy.
And they're not that dumb. I mean, you know, I mean, if I,
no,
can see it,
not.
I'm not very smart.
They just have, again, they just have to have their official lies and,
yeah,
and no fact checkers.
Their fig leaves. So, I mean, please don't fact check me. So, well, we've seen this over the years. I mean, you know, like with the invasion, with the weapons of mass destruction and things,
yeah,
like that. You know, they always have to kind of float something like this. But,
yeah,
but this is really accelerated and it's metastasized,
yeah,
and it's pretty scary. So,
yeah,
that so many people are that low information that they could watch something like the debate on Monday and go, oh, that sounded pretty reasonable. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not gonna mess with my health care. Oh, wait a minute, I'm in the bad pool. My premiums are $2,000 a month. The other part about that is you get in the good pool, and,
yeah,
they're not going to cover anything.
Right.
You know, it'll be like, well, you don't need much. You know, they'll get all these, you know, healthy 22-year-olds, and it's like, you'll have, you know, this huge deductible.
The whole point of universal health care is you make the pool as big as you possibly,
right,
can.
Right.
So that it all balances out.
Yeah.
You got to be able to absorb the risk by including the healthy. That's why,
yeah,
there was originally a penalty for not joining in, because,
yeah,
that upsets the whole purpose,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah. And this evolves over time when,
yeah,
when you're in the young and healthy group, you know,
yeah,
assuming that you've, you know, survived,
yeah,
you can if you're lucky, get up to the old and unhealthy group at some point.
Ageism is the absolutely the most ridiculous of all of the prejudices.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to turn black. I'm not going to turn Jewish, but I am going to get old. Yeah. Or I am already. But
But no, it shows the lack of love that we have for our future selves, basically.
Screw them. I'm on another Big Mac. So, all right, we got to take a break here pretty quick, but I just want to get in something that's sort of related to what we've been talking about. A first-of-its-kind study shows that gun-free zones reduce the likelihood of mass shootings. According to new findings, gun-free zones do not make establishments more vulnerable to shootings. That's one of the arguments that the gun lovers like to make. It's like, well, you're just putting up a sign that you're easy pickings there. Instead, they tend to have a preventative effect.
Interesting.
And one more thing about you talked about the criminal case against Trump that was brought up. My favorite little nugget from there is that Rudy texted his plan to steal the election to a wrong number.
But the sangria says that's the right number. Always listen to sangria.
Is this the Four Seasons? Yes, it is. Well, I need a room for... Oh, you got it, Rudy.
It's a small one in the back.
All right, we have to take a break and play some announcements, and then we'll be back with...
California has a new law that protects the data in your brain.
Oh, wow. And speaking of data in your brain, Camp Randall has started selling alcohol this year at Badger Games.
Wow.
And we'll have a little update on how that's going.
Says the long hair hippies and the afro blacks, they all get together across the tracks and they party. Hey! On the good foot, you know they dance on the good foot. Dance on the good foot. Ain't nothing going on but the rhythm.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness Dane County announces the NAMI Walks Dane County, an in-person event on Saturday, October 5th at Olin Park. The walk is being held to promote awareness of mental health and reduce stigma by sharing stories to raise funds for NAMI's mission of advocacy, education, support, and public awareness, and to build community and let people know they are not alone. The 5K walk will have a group start at noon. There will be food and games for all ages near the Olin Turville Pavilion. Walkers can walk shorter distances or stay behind to enjoy the games and food at the park. There is no fee to register, but walkers are encouraged to raise donations. Online sign-up and information is available at namiwalks.org/danecounty. Or by calling 608-249-7188 or by email walk@namidanecounty.org. Keeping you informed of opportunities for promoting wellness in our community, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
You've been so kind and generous. I don't know how you keep on giving. For your kindness, I'm in debt to you.
From WORT to you, thank you to our generous donors and volunteers, our supportive restaurant partners, and our staff for making our fall fundraiser as successful as possible.
You know I'm bound to thank you for it. La 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 la.
And we're back.
Hmm. Want to share it with the class? Or?
No, I just the screensaver here on the WRT desktop. It was interesting, and I was like, "What is that?" And I was like, "Oh, that's Central Park." There's a lot of really super tall buildings in New York City now, aren't there?
There are.
Yeah, they look kind of stupid.
Yeah, they're called skyscrapers.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they're like thing. These little skinny, weeny, like very, very long, tiny, big,
like little towers.
Or? Yeah, the towers, but they look like needles.
Yeah,
they're not the traditional. I haven't been to New York. God, I haven't been to New York City in, gosh, I can't even remember now. Maybe 10 years. I haven't checked it out recently. All right, hey. Job openings. There's a little economic news here. Grew by 8 million. The U.S. job openings rose unexpectedly in August as the labor market continues to show resilience. And you know what you need? We need people to fill those jobs. That's what we need. But not anybody from Haiti can do it. So. Economists expected the openings to be virtually unchanged, but the Labor Department reported Tuesday that employers posted 8 million vacancies in August, up from 7.7. Openings were in the construction industry and in state and local governments. So that's kind of good. Let's see. Oh, here's a way in which who you vote for in November would make a difference. I didn't even realize this many cases were going on, but the Biden administration has been really on top of this whole concept of monopolies. You know, that's something that we started worrying about in this country back in the 1880s. And then we sort of lost track of it back in the 1980s. And now we're sort of like worried about it again. There's 15 major cases that have been brought by the Federal Trade Commission, along with the Justice Department, since the Trump administration, or pardon me, the Biden administration began and the Trump administration ended. There's a case against Google for online advertising and online searches that say that they use monopolistic practices. Visa, pharmacy benefit managers. I think we mentioned that a couple of weeks ago or a month ago or so, what pharmacy benefit managers are. Kroger's and Albertson's stores, Apple, Live Nation, Meta, JetBlue, Amazon, Microsoft, Penguin, United Health Group. They're all people that are basically doing something they ought not to do with the market through their monopoly power or the claim of monopoly.
Well, Big
power.
Penguin is notorious for that. So.
Emperor Penguin to you. But, you know, that's I just think about that. So these are people, they're actually trying to not have a hyper-capitalist hellscape under the Biden administration and say, okay, when you get, you're a really big market player, you know, we have to keep an eye on you because, you know, it's a jungle out there and we'd like to make it a little bit less of a jungle. And guess who's in favor of being a jungle and why all the billionaires and multi-billionaires are all supporting one of the other candidates in the race.
Well, you know, again, I mean, this is all right out there. I mean, Trump met with a bunch of rich people a few months ago and audio of it leaked where he said, you're all rich as hell and I'm going to give you all big tax breaks. Yep. And
kiss my ass, I'll kiss yours.
Yeah.
I can say that, right?
And the Harris people actually put that in an ad, which I thought was...
Did they?
Yeah, which is good. I mean, instead of, you know, trying to, you know, just run nice pictures of happy people and flags. Yeah, it's like, you know, get that out there and say, this is what he actually said.
Yeah, because I love the working people is what all those Republicans say.
Yeah,
and it's like, you say a lot of stuff.
Right. So, I mean, he also, and again, and this didn't get a lot of traction, but I thought this was a huge thing when he told the oil industry, the fossil fuel industry, if you raise me $1 billion, you can have whatever you want. ka-ching. And I mean, it was very blatant. It was like, you know, give me money and you can, you know, I'll get rid of these regulations. Sure. And
I think they should just put him on one of those big scales. Yeah. And then
he'd make out like a bandit on that.
Gold bullion on the other side.
So, so I mentioned that Camp Randall has started selling beer.
Yes.
At football games. And
the answer to and the cause of all of life's problems.
So they've had 3 home games.
Okay.
And they've sold $1.2 million in beer.
Wow.
So I think it's a success.
So are we lowering tuition now? Or what are we doing with that money?
Well, I think it's going to the athletics salaries. Athletic director and sure. football coach. And
those are the highest salaries in the state.
They are. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah. I remember one time we got I mentioned this before, but a long time ago, we got a press release from some anti-tax group, and they were, I don't know, based in Washington or something. They didn't know Wisconsin at all.
Sure.
And they took a list of the highest paid state employees.
Sure.
And they found that the highest paid state employee was working for the university.
Yeah.
And they you know made a thing out of that about the press release how overpaid this pointy headed professor was.
Yeah.
And the pointy headed professor was Barry Alvarez.
who did not have a point in his head. As far as I could tell.
No, that's from slamming it into other large men repeatedly over the years.
Yep,
but
and flat.
But you know, but if they showed that to most people in Wisconsin, they'd go, "Well, give him a raise."
Exactly.
Good job he did. So made a little over $1 million in 3 games there. So
excellent
from their student athletes.
So was there?
And was there
widespread vomiting?
No,
or?
But they talked to the campus police. They said that really wasn't. Yeah. They didn't know
it's
any
Wisconsin.
Difference. People were bringing in everything before. Yeah. I mean, it's
better probably better to have them there than to like down it super fast before you get there.
Right, you know, that way that you know they have to stand in line for a while, and and you can space it out a little bit.
Sure,
I've noticed that like baseball games,
responsible drinking
this year. They hardly
quote unquote.
They hardly even in Milwaukee they hardly have any beer vendors come around.
Yeah,
they used to just like you know. I mean, they were like flies. It was just, you know.
You want a beer?
Want a beer? Want a beer? Want a beer? Want a beer? Hey, kid, want a beer?
Not till you're 6, son.
I'm with my parents. Oh, okay. but now, I mean, if you see one during a game, it's.
Did you remember that from when you were a kid? Because I had adults, like, you know, uncles and cousins and things like that, who would say, do you want a cup of coffee? And I'd drink it. I remember drinking it and thinking, oh, this is horrible. Why would anybody like coffee?
Yeah.
And an uncle is like, oh, you want to drink a beer? And I thought, look, this is awful. Why would any human drink this? It was very mysterious to me what the attraction of these various things were.
Sure.
Yeah. But then it grew up. And I realized it's a hard, cruel world out there. And
one time my dad and his no good friends decided it'd be funny to give me like a little glass of beer. It was probably 3 or 4 ounces or something.
Yeah.
And then it was time for me to go to bed.
Yeah.
And it didn't affect me at all. It was very little. I mean, it maybe it was even an ounce. I don't know. It didn't affect me at all, but I thought it'd be funny to pretend to be drunk.
Wow.
And so I threw myself off the bed.
Oh my gosh.
And smashed on the floor. And everybody made a big fuss. And my mom got really mad that my dad got me drunk.
You're a little bit of a troublemaker, aren't you?
Yeah, when you're the youngest, you got to find a way to get attention.
My Uncle Raymond he was always getting in trouble. He was the guy that, Michael Raymond, was the guy that paid the gas bill in pennies.
Oh, no.
And they changed the rules that you, because you, they, he borrowed my little
the red. The Raymond Rider?
Yeah, the Raymond Rider. He borrowed my little red wagon, and he was so mad. Because, I'm serious. I remember it vividly. And he didn't like deliver them rolled up, because you can get them in rolls from the bank, right? He actually opened them all and poured them into the, because he was annoyed because he had to pay the gas bill. And so he brought the
it was probably like $8. Yeah, right
easily. But he brought it in. But he was always doing stuff like that. But yeah, he once gave our dog beer. He put it in the dog's bowl, and the dog just Fritz was the dog's name.
Oh, they love
Fritz
it.
Just lapped it up.
Yeah,
and Fritz got a little tipsy.
Bad idea.
Yeah,
not a good idea.
And also was kind of hanging around looking for some more. He kept sniffing the bowl and looking around the bowl, and it was very sad.
Oh, so.
Hey, there's a new law that just got signed into effect in the state of California, the great state of California, by the governor there, Governor Gavin Newsom. And it's a law that aims to protect people's brain data from being misused by neurotechnology companies. And this is important. Everything's up for sale in this wonderful world we live in today. And even your data about your brain apparently is. A growing number of consumer technology products promise to help address cognitive issues. So you can get, and I know you have, apps to meditate. You can get apps to improve focus. You can treat mental illness conditions online, things like depression. There are products you can get that monitor and record brain waves. They include virtually everything that goes on in your mind, including thoughts, feelings, and intentions. And so the California State Assembly and the Senate, with no opposition votes, amended the state's current privacy law known as the California Consumer Privacy Act by including neural data. And neural data includes data generated by a user's brain activity and the meshwork of nerves that extends to the rest of the body. Because the brain is not just sitting there by itself. It's fully integrated into the rest. So we got to include the nervous system too. So they're the first state to do this. It's very, very interesting. You cannot sell my brain data.
On a sort of related note, the company 23andMe, the DNA tracking thing, they're having some financial trouble, and they might go under.
Because?
Because they don't have any money. they're broke.
I'm glad we explained that to the listeners.
Well, I know a little bit about finance.
Econ, so, 101. Yeah, right. So, but, any money.
That's how that works. Let me explain this to you.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a business money. Yeah. You don't got a business. You're a Trump and you can just sell Bibles or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trump kind of...
Slap your name on something.
Trump kind of upsets that whole paradigm. I don't know. How many times does he have bankruptcy?
But anyway, so the concern is that, somebody will buy them up in bankruptcy court.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll have access to all this DNA data that no one had ever really agreed to. Because, I mean, apparently when you sign up for those things, you just click I accept your terms.
Yeah, no one looks at that.
And the terms, they can come in the middle of the night and take any DNA from you that that they desire, and then they can do anything they want with it forever and ever. Yeah. So people could their DNA data, which was supposed to be private, could end up in some vendor or Google or something, and then they could
Speaking of things medical, I had a colonoscopy last week, and I was very proud of myself.
Bring any pictures?
They gave me some, actually. I didn't bring them with me, but they gave me some. But I was very proud of myself because, they give you this drug to kind of they kind of knock you out and your memory's bad. So I asked Companion if I said anything,
Last time you were bragging about your cute tuchus
What I did, he said, well, one thing you said was... You said to the nurse, could you ask the doctor if he found my car keys?
Oh, that's good.
I was very proud of that. I thought, even in a diminished state, I was still at a pretty good...
We should put you under
good,
like at 1 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was funny because then afterwards, apparently I said, so how many other butts are you going to see today? And he said, this is all according to Companion, the doctor said 12. Yeah, he already knew how many he was going to see.
Yeah.
And he said, my kids love this. She said, he'd like to tell everybody that I'm Dr. Butt. And I tried to tell him, but I do endoscopies too. And so I was like, oh, so you got them coming and going, right?
So. Wow, you're regular Shecky Green. But when I had mine, they showed me pictures, and I said, oh, I can see the likeness there. It's my good side.
Companion said it was very charming, so I was pleased with my semi-conscious self. I was like, okay, good. That must mean I have some good basic instincts.
Good for you.
Yeah. Hey, by the way,
we should do the next debate like that. Where they just get them high as a kite and just let them ramble.
Well, I told you a few years ago when I had one, because this has been my... fourth one or something now.
Wow.
So yeah, but a few years ago, and I had
what
one.
Are you like 100 or what?
No. It's for a bad reason. It's because there was a That one was a...
They did find your car keys.
They did. Yeah, one was a precancerous polyp, and so they said you could have need to come back more often. Yeah, so that's... So. But that's fine. It's no. There's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's so... But the one time I said to the doctor... I had the same doctor twice in a row, and the doctor, I said to him, wow, this is when I was in my stupefied state. I said, you know, your job is really interesting. Like, when you're looking up people's anuses, it's like you're looking back in time, because really, we're all just worms fundamentally, and apparently he sort of back towards the door, you know? And so the next time that I had the colonoscopy, it was like 3 years later, and he remembered me. It's like, hi, you're the same doctor.
The
oh,
worm,
yeah, he
you're
said,
the worm guy.
I remember you. I also asked the doctor what was a word that he would use to the one that just had the procedure with. Asked him if what was a word that would describe him, and he said talkative. And I said I was hoping for careful or fastidious. So one word to describe him was talkative. I mean, like, that's not helpful. I do want to mention that this weekend, the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari is coming to the Capitol Theater.
Oh, cool.
That's going to be on Saturday as part of the Overture Center's Duck Soup Cinema Series. They're featuring classic silent films with live organ accompaniment. And this really fun. If you've never seen it, it's really very good. It's a historic vintage silent film. They're having it at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Saturday, and that's at the Capitol Theater, which is in the Overture Center. And the price is $12, and I think I can say that on the air. And this film is recommended for ages 13 and older. It's a little spooky. You'd be surprised that they can make spooky films, but it is spooky. And I would encourage people to go see it. It's very fun. It's a, you know, it's kind of pre-Halloween-y, if you want to get in the Halloween spirit.
Mm-hmm. Nevada politician guilty of using $70,000 meant for statue of slain police officer. Mm. She was using it, apparently, according to the complaint, for personal costs.
Mm-hmm.
She ran unsuccessfully 2 years ago for Nevada State Treasurer, and now she's been found guilty of misusing funds for a statue honoring a slain police officer for political and personal expenses.
Wow.
That's kind of low. That's pretty low.
Yeah. Let's think ahead a little bit here, Mel.
Okay.
In 6 billion years... 6 billion years from today,
okay,
scientists predict that the sun is going to expand into a red giant.
And Leon's getting larger. but that goes without saying.
That goes without saying. Leon will not match what the sun's going to look like. So in the process, it's probably going to, scientists assume, it's going to probably absorb or consume Mercury. Sure. And
turns into a big red,
maybe
red
Venus.
Star.
It's big. It's a giant, yeah.
And Superman loses his power, so we're screwed.
We are screwed. Yeah. So the near ones are going to be in bad shape. And for a long time, they assumed that we would probably grab the Earth too, but they've actually scientists have found a rocky world orbiting another star that's already gone through its red giant phase. The planet now orbits a white dwarf, which is what's left over after the red giant kind of blows all of its stuff off.
Sure.
But it looks as if the planet that's still orbiting this white dwarf was in the same position as Earth now is. So it might be that when they expand, we don't know really, we're not sure whether it'll happen, but there's some likelihood at least. I mean, if it's actual, it's possible, right? That if the sun goes through its giant phase, that the Earth could very easily manage to survive. Because this is something that we see in on a planet very far away. So this planet was discovered with a Korean telescope network in 2020. It's 4,000 light years away from us, and they watched as the planet's star, passed in front of another star, which is how they were able to it's called gravitational lensing. They were able to magnify the amount of light towards the telescope by 1,000 times. So anyway. So maybe the Earth could still be around 6 billion years from now.
Wow. Oh, what do we else? We have a metal music festival. Have lost the headliner that they were going to have because they invited, the festival invited Kyle Rittenhouse as a guest.
Oh, good Lord.
And the band, who is the band here? I don't think I'd ever heard of them, but some metal band. They said,
isn't that guy yesterday's news?
I would think so by now. I mean, it's like, but anyway, so the festival Shell Shock 2, the band Evergreen Terrace pulled out, saying they didn't want anything to do with it if they're going to invite Rittenhouse. Wisconsin's finest. All right, we got a time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be pretty nice.
Is it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We can't tell from here.
I can't.
You're in the bunker.
Since I had my knee surgery, I quit paying attention to the weather, like, completely. Because I,
really?
Like don't do anything anymore. I mean, I look outside and I go, oh, Clopsy, want to go for a walk? And we'll go for a short walk. But
does Clopsy respond to Clopsy when you say Clopsy?
Yeah. So
Clopsy knows that Clopsy is Clopsy's name, right?
Yeah, bud. Yeah. Yep, he knows.
Clopsy's here in the studio today.
Yeah, he's been very quiet, just sitting. He's
keeping
sitting
an
feet,
eye on us.
So. So, all right, we got to get out of here. Time to declare. Oh, we already declared that. So,
yeah, it's done declared.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I circled back there. I was in a little time loop there. thanks for listening. It is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pants, great seeing you.
You too, bud.
Stick around. The kiosk is next. And then Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar. With the hot pants on.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, October 4th.
This is Common Places. I'm Diego Alegría. Esto es Lugares Comunes. Mi nombre es Diego Alegría. We use metaphors to live by. Usamos metáforas para vivir. Some have become common places. Algunas se han vuelto lugares comunes. Today's metaphor is, la metáfora de hoy es,
false claims are true claims.
Las afirmaciones falsas son afirmaciones verdaderas. The earth is a sphere. La tierra es una esfera. An atom is a solar system. Un átomo es un sistema solar. Nucleus at the center. Electrons around. Núcleo al centro. Electrones alrededor. Of waves, of particles.